Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number 12 pick by the New York Jets in the 1994 draft is coming home. Aaron Glenn, the team's new head coach, welcome into Flight Plan to McMaster here, along with Zach Rosenblatt, who writes about the Jets for The Athletic. We're going to discuss all things Aaron Glenn here. This probably won't be a super long podcast. It's more of the emergency variety. We'll also check in on the GM search, which has not been concluded. And we'll talk about our picks pool at the end as well and give you an update there. Zach, first of all, it seems like the leader at the beginning of the race has kind of gone all the way through the process and come out on top. I mean, taking Mike Vrabel out of the discussion probably because he was briefly probably the favorite until he went to New England. But Aaron Glenn has been a guy that I think Jets fans were talking about before Robert Saleh was fired, maybe.
Yeah, you know, I kind of mad at myself for not sticking to my guns. I've been saying he was my prediction since pretty much Robert Saleh was fired. And I like officially predicted a couple times, and then I kind of wavered as they started interviewing more and more people. And I'd heard that they were still just, you know, they were open to getting blown away by other candidates. And that's why I kind of transitioned to Brian Flores, who I thought could do well in the room. That didn't happen. And so now we're sitting here with a guy who was the most obvious candidate from the beginning because of his ties to the Jets, his willingness to take the job, all that stuff. But the Jets can't go through any situation without like some drama. So of course we had the last couple of days where you have fans freaking out. You know, he goes to the facility with Lance Newmark. They're there all day. You know, I reported during the day, as did a couple others, but I was early on it that, you know, he was expected to be the Jets coach and that everybody was operating as if it was going to happen. And then Adam Schefter just tweets, you know, Aaron Glenn left the building without any context of what that meant or where he was going or where his head was. So everybody just started losing their shit, both in a good and bad way. The people who didn't want him were happy. The people who did want him were freaking out. The Discord chat for Badlands, which if you don't subscribe to Badlands and you don't belong to the Discord, I highly recommend it. They were losing their mind. If you're in that Discord, I've been given some insight, things I was hearing before I even got to Twitter. So I think there's a lot of value if you want to get in there, and we have a lot of fun in there. I do have a disguise, but people who have listened to this podcast for a long time could figure out what my name is in there. But yeah, you know, everybody started freaking out, and that's when time starts to feel like it's moving slowly. We've seen this happen with a lot of things. You know, there's the Aaron Rodgers thing. Even free agency last year, Mike Williams, them saying they can't let him leave the room, and just all these different things that have gone on with the Jets in recent years where there's all this noise and then you think it's going to happen and then you're like, oh, so-and-so left the building, and then everybody freaks out. It happened with Robert Saleh, which I wasn't here for that, but everybody forgot about that he was in the building and then he left and everybody freaked out the same way, because at the time, everybody wanted Saleh universally. I don't think everybody wanted Glenn this time, but I think it's generally a positive approval rating, and we'll get into like my thoughts on it and what it all means and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, like this is, you know, who most people expected would take the job. I thought the Saints had a legit shot at it. The Jets might've been weirdly helped by the insane weather conditions in New Orleans, because he had to cancel and or push back his interview in New Orleans because they had like their worst blizzard ever. I don't know if he was going to go there anyway, but he didn't really have the option of going there. So, so the Jets emerged, and you know, there's a lot to unpack, but the Jets got their guy. He's the next head coach. And, you know, I think he is the man for this job. I think he has a lot of good attributes. He wanted a head coach. He has a lot of people around the league who are very excited about the idea of him as a head coach. You're seeing a lot of them come out, experts, former players, guys that played with him, guys that coach with him. He has what he has, the kind of like leader of men cliche that the Jets are looking for. And so I think it's worth being excited about. The most important thing now is going to be his staff and all that, which we'll get into. But yeah, you know, this is my first coaching search I covered on this beat. Technically my first one I've been around where the coach was like picked while I was on the beat. Like I'd like left after Joe Judge was fired and joined the Jets when Saleh was already there. So it was a journey, but we got to the destination. So.
Well, and hopefully you don't have to cover another coaching change for some time, as long as you're on this beat. So of the group of Jets fans who are negative towards this hire, I think there's probably a sect of that group that would say, come on, man, another defensive coordinator? Why all the look around the league? It's the offensive coaches that are successful, not the defensive coaches. Well, Aaron Glenn actually spoke to that earlier this year while with the Lions. Let's play this clip, and then I'd love to get your take on it as well, Zach.
Well, I don't know if that's truly accurate. I can just go off the top of my head with Bill Carr, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick. That's won a ton of Super Bowls as a defensive coach. And here's the one thing that I would say about myself. I'm a coach. I just happen to be on defense. I understand the offense just as well as a number of people. So if you want to hire me, you're going to hire a coach. You're not going to hire a defensive coach. I'm going to talk to the offense just as much as I'm going to talk to the defense.
I'm not sure Bill Cowher at this point is a good comp, considering the league that Bill Cowher coached in league that is the NFL now. But his point is well taken. The idea here is you're the coach. That being said, it has failed in this organization a few times.
Yes. I mean, and the majority of their coaches since Woody Johnson has been the owner have been defensive minded coaches. So that's why I think you've seen a lot of people who have pushed back on it. And I get it because of the way the league is and all that stuff. But the Jets just needed to find the best leader, the best person who's going to change the culture here and the best person who's going to hold people accountable. You know, obviously the offense needs to be better. 100%. That's accurate. And ultimately culture is helped by if you have a good quarterback and if you have a good play caller, but you know, at the end of the day, I think he was the best man for this job. Like I think Flores had a case for it. You know, I know fans were upset that they didn't interview Cliff Kingsbury, Todd Monken, Ben Johnson turned them down. I think Cliff Kingsbury did as well. Liam Cohen. And, you know, these are guys that have never been head coaches either. So, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury did, but he didn't want the job. And so, you know, you're going to get a first time head coach. If there was an offensive coordinator out there, an offensive play caller who had already been a head coach, I think maybe that would have been a different conversation. You know, they talked to Arthur Smith. I think that's one of the reasons why they liked him. But at the end of the day, they just wanted to get the best leader. And, you know, there's a lot of people who vouch for Aaron Glenn to his point. Like, we're going to find out what kind of head coach he is. Like, we don't really know. We don't know what the offense is going to look like. We don't know if he's going to call plays on defense. We don't know any of these things. But if he can be a good leader and if he can hire the right coaches and build the right culture and bring in the right players, this team can get back on track. So I'm open to the idea that he can be the guy to turn this around. I think many before him have thought they were the guy and it did not work. Saleh got the closest probably, or Todd Bowles, I guess he had that 10 win season since Rex Ryan, like out of all these coaches. But I don't know. I get the frustration and the, like they keep doing the same thing over and over again, because on paper it looks like that. But I do think Aaron Glenn is a different candidate. Ultimately, you know, we've seen like Robert Saleh, for example. The San Francisco 49ers defense was fantastic under him, ranked highly statistically, all that stuff. Aaron Glenn's defense didn't necessarily rank that highly across the board. If you look at it, like there's some areas and analytically they were pretty good, but like scoring and yardage and things like that, like they weren't amazing, but they were solid. And he often overcame a lot of injuries and things like that. But my point being, like whatever the stats were, he could be a better head coach than he was a defensive coordinator. I even think of Mike Vrabel, not to always bring it back to him. Obviously, I have ties to him, but his 1 year as a defensive coordinator in Houston, they were not that successful, but he exhibited leadership traits and he had a plan of attack and a game plan, and he's very detailed and he held people accountable. And so he was able to have success right away in Tennessee. And so that's kind of how I view it with Aaron Glenn. I think if he can put the right people in place, build the right culture, build an attention to detail that wasn't there, a discipline that wasn't there, if he can change a lot of those aspects of this operation, whether he's the long-term coach or whether he puts the right things in place for the next one or however it plays out, I think he can do the kind of thing that Mike Vrabel did in Tennessee and what you've seen some of these coaches that kind of surprise. And, you know, like a Kevin O'Connell, I don't think Kevin O'Connell actually called plays before he went to the Vikings. So there's a lot of reason to believe it'll still be good, even if you want to like overanalyze his stats and all that stuff. I think especially this last season, the way he handled the amount of injuries they had on that defense, Aiden Hutchinson, they had a few, Carlton Davis at corner. They had a couple other defensive ends that got hurt. At various points, they were playing guys that they just signed off the street, off the practice squad. Jamal Adams played like three games and was cut. Like they were playing guys off the street and they were competing and they were doing the right things. And, you know, I know they struggled in that last game. That's etched in everybody's memory, the Commanders game where they gave up 38 points on defense. But, you know, the Jets on the flip side, like Robert Saleh built up a good defense, but as soon as anybody important got hurt or as soon as there was adversity, a lot of times they did not handle it well. So they need a coach that is better prepared to handle adversity. And, you know, I think he has the personality that guys are going to listen to him. I've heard from players that prior to this process even starting, were excited at the prospect of playing for him because they were impressed watching his games and the way he called plays and the way he led his team. So I don't know. I believe that he can be the right coach. There's a lot of questions I have to answer roster-wise, culture-wise, how involved Woody is, all that stuff. But I think for this moment, he was the right coach.
You mentioned culture change, and that's obviously that's really the biggest thing here, right? Because it's something the team always talks about, maybe more than any other team, about how holding people accountable and accountability and all that stuff. But they never seem to get it done in reality. Like, it doesn't actually happen no matter they talk about it. So I want to play one more clip. And this was Hard Knocks, when the Lions were on Hard Knocks. And it was talking about just that, changing the culture there. Because obviously the Jets would like to see exactly what happened in Detroit. A franchise that was in a lot of ways a laughingstock, that was poorly run by most opinions. They hire a new coach and almost immediately that all changed. And then with that came victories and success. So here's the clip from Hard Knocks.
Man, I'm trying to get something that's going to stir you up from in the inside, all right? That's going to change exactly who you are as a player, right? Who this organization is, man, so we can get ready to move forward on this journey. Because it's time for a change. Jonah, where are you, Jonah?
Right here.
Okay, you started at Rutgers, right?
Sure.
And then you went to Ohio State.
Sure.
How many games did you lose that year at Ohio State?
One.
One game. Every game you played, every time you woke up to play that game, you felt like you was going to win that game.
Yeah.
Time to get that feeling back. Y'all dig what I'm saying?
Sure.
Time to get that feeling back. At some point, man, we got to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough.
I think it's better than all gas, no brake.
Yes. I would say hopefully they don't do all the sayings in this go around. Yeah. You know, they need that kind of attitude. And I think there is something to be said. And, you know, maybe there's too much put onto things like this, but there is something to be said about him knowing the culture in New York, him knowing how people talk about it, not just like reading about it. He's lived it. You know, he played here for a long time. You know, he played here for, I think it was over 10 years. And they only made the playoffs, I think, three times in a stretch. They did have a bunch of winning seasons. They, I think, towards the beginning, they went from like 3 wins to 9 wins. And then they made the playoffs a year after that. He left in 2001, like right as Herm Edwards was starting. And then he bounced around the league a little bit. Like, but he knows how people talk about the Jets. He was here as a scout when his playing career ended in 2013-14. That's, you know, same old Jets was definitely a thing by then. He was on Tannenbaum's staff and all that stuff. And that's a unique path to becoming a coach, doing scouting first. And so, yeah, I think that's the mindset. You know, I'm very curious to see the kind of things he says in this press conference, knowing the history. You know, he knows Woody Johnson. He knows, you know, what people say about the Jets. He knows his fan base. He knows what it takes to win here. He knows how teams have lost here. And so all of that knowledge is a positive, I think. And we'll see what happens with it and what his staff looks like and all that stuff. But yeah, you know, it's a culture thing. Number one, above all else, and I've said it over and over again, and we've talked about it, the accountability, all that stuff. Nothing is going to happen here until they fix the culture. And that does start at the top with Woody Johnson. And there's a hope maybe that he's more willing to take a step back. I hope, like, the fact that he brought in 33rd team and he listened to them and they talked to all these candidates and, you know, he listened to what people were saying about Aaron Glenn. I think some of his former teammates and some former Jets reached out to Woody to, you know, speak on Aaron Glenn's behalf. And, you know, if he is taking the right lessons from all this and he exhibits patience, like if the Jets, which, you know, depending on who their quarterback is, it might be hard to win a lot of games this year, but let's say they start 0-2. Does Woody start getting involved again? If they're 0-3 or if they're 1-4, if they're 2-3, like, is Woody going back to his old ways? Like, that's the biggest question looming over all of this. Is Woody Johnson willing to change? And if he is not, that's going to be a big problem. But at the end of the day, if they come out and they can win, then Woody will definitely leave them alone. And, you know, that's the thing. There's a lot of factors here, but somebody needed to change the culture. There was a little bit too much guys doing what they wanted, stars getting away with things like that. And the kind of players leading the way, like, that works in theory, but once you start losing, it's, you need someone to stand in front of the team and lead them and point them in the right direction and exhibit discipline. And if guys aren't doing their job, you bench them, or you bench them for a few plays, or you know, make them a reserve instead of a starter or whatever it is. They need somebody who's willing to do that. And I think Aaron Glenn, by all accounts, is going to be a truth teller. He's going to say what he thinks, and he's going to put his arm around you at the end of the day and support you too. So those are what you want. Those are the things you want in a leader for a head coach. And I think he has those attributes.
When you look back on his playing career, 15 years, which is, I think I saw that second longest tenure playing of any head coach right now in the NFL. He played for Bill Parcells. He played for Pete Carroll. He played for Bill Belichick, his coordinator. Played for Dom Capers, Nick Fangio, Zimmer. Like, great, not necessarily head coaches, but when he was under them as coordinators, great coordinators in the NFL. And then obviously some Hall of Fame caliber head coaches too. And differing philosophies too, not all like the same. And I feel like that's the fact that he's been under so many different ways probably helped him create what he is on his own.
Yeah, I'd say probably the three most influential coaches on him just based on his history are Bill Parcells, Sean Payton, and Dan Campbell. And those are all different flavors for sure. But those are like leaders. Those are really smart, intuitive coaches who have built great staffs over the years. I mean, Bill Parcells is one of the best coaches to ever do it. And that's his mentor. Like, he talks to him still. And, you know, and Sean Payton, you know, he's, you know, one of the best offensive coaches that's ever been in this league. And he built the Broncos into something even while they were in cap hell and all this stuff. And then you have Dan Campbell, who, you know, is kind of the emotional leader that you want. He's aggressive. And I do think Aaron Glenn will bring some of that aggressiveness over with him. And the Jets have missed that. All the gas, no break stuff, they were not aggressive with Robert Saleh. They were very conservative. I think that was the misnomer about that whole demeanor. They'll be aggressive with Aaron Glenn, I think. And whether that works or not, we'll see. But I think he's going to take something from each of these coaches he's worked with, and he's going to bring a little bit of his own flavor and from his experience as a player and things like that. And again, I'm very curious to see with how the staff plays out. You know, a lot of the rumored names are very interesting, some more experienced than others. And that's going to be a big part of how successful this is, because you're really only as good as your players and you're only as good as your staff. And so if he picks the right staff and the players buy in, like, this, they could be a competitive right away. I really do believe that.
Let's get into that. Let's start on I think most people want to hear about the offensive side. They're not really as concerned about defense. Obviously, he'll probably have a big say in what the team's doing defensively. So offensively, when you have a coach like this, you have a quarterback situation up in the air like the Jets, just everything that's here, it seems like the offensive coordinator hire may be as important as the head coach hire.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of names have been floated. The three that I've been told the most have been Nick Caley. He's the passing game coordinator in L.A., so he'd be plucking from the Sean McVay tree. He's someone who Robert Saleh actually interviewed before hiring Hackett. I'd say he's the leading contender right now. Clint Kubiak, he's someone I think is popular among fans. He has the Kubiak name. He was the OC in New Orleans last year. They were looking really good on offense before Derek Carr got hurt. And I think he's a future head coach. Like, I've heard rave reviews around the league just from talking to people that have worked with him. Scott Turner is one that I don't think will actually like get the job or be like a final candidate, but he's North Turner's son, has some play calling experience, that kind of thing. Mark Brunell, the quarterback's coach in Detroit, is another name that's been mentioned. I saw Todd Haley even got some mentions. And Josh McCown has been getting some buzz, but by all accounts, he's going to stay in Minnesota unless he got a head coaching job. So he'd be interesting. But out of those, like Nick Haley is my early prediction. It's not locked in by any stretch. Like there's still time, but he's someone who, you know, he'd be a first time play caller. So there's some risk involved, but historically speaking, if you pluck somebody from Sean McVay's staff, it works out. Like these are like that. It's not the Bill Belichick tree. Like this is like these guys usually are very smart, intuitive play callers. And there's a reason why teams have pursued Nick Haley over the years. He's been resistant to some jobs, but this would be a path to becoming a head coach for him. If you could turn the Jets offense around and run that show on offense, like that's the path to a head coaching job. I think he's in his early 40s, so he's pretty young. And so that's kind of where I'm at with offensive coordinator. The other coordinator, especially defense, that's interesting in that we don't know if Aaron Glenn will call players or not. Based on the leading contender, which is Steve Wilkes, he's been a very experienced defensive coordinator in the NFL. He was a head coach for the Cardinals briefly, got fired after a year for Cliff, and he's kind of bounced around the league a little bit since. But I would think he would call plays. It would bring a different style of defense than what you had under Robert Saleh. But between Aaron Glenn and him, in terms of like what this means for the defense and stuff like that, I think you'll see a lot more man coverage, maybe a little more blitzing, which they never did with him. And man coverage, if that's what they're doing, that would mean Sauce Gardner would get maybe a chance to travel more, which I know he wants to, and I know the fan base wants him to. I think it would be good for him. And my impression is that he's very excited at the idea of playing with Aaron Glenn. So they'd have to fill the other corner spot because they're probably going to lose DJ Reed. But Steve Wilkes seems to be leading contender. I wouldn't say he's the only one, but I think he's leading one. Special teams, the big name I've heard is Chris Banjo. He's the assistant special teams coordinator in Denver. So he's on Sean Payton's staff. Aaron Glenn coached him in New Orleans, actually. He was a safety while Aaron Glenn was a defensive backs coach. I think Brant Boer, you can never rule out him coming back again. They love him here. Darren Reezy is somebody, if he doesn't get scooped back up by the Saints or somebody else, he crossed paths with Aaron Glenn on the Saints staff. The Jets were very impressed with him in the head coaching search. I think he did really well in his interview. So he'd be a very interesting one and somebody who technically has head coaching experience. Like as many as for a guy who has a first-time head coach, if you can get guys like Steve Wilkes, you can get guys like, you know, if Todd Haley were to come on the staff, you know, there's other coaches that are, he hasn't been a head coach, but Jim O'Neill, someone on the Lions staff who I think might come over too. He's coached with Aaron Glenn for a while, and I think they crossed paths in his playing career too. But yeah, you want experience on this staff for an inexperienced coach. So that's where I kind of stand with those. There's a lot of candidates. He'll interview a lot of people. I don't think anything's necessarily locked in 100%, but Nick Haley is the favorite for OC, which is the one people care about most.
When trying to woo Haley and whoever for the OC job, when you look at this team, is it an easy sell because you have Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and all these talented pieces, or is it a tough sell because quarterback?
I mean, ultimately, if you don't have a quarterback, it's a tough sell. And, you know, the Aaron Rodgers of it all is a factor. Like if you're an OC, are you willing to work with Aaron Rodgers? Maybe that depends on if you meet with him and he says, yeah, I'm willing to do whatever your offense is, which based on Aaron Rodgers' history, I don't think that would be the case. Taylor DeGodder just asked if Nick is related to Todd Haley. It's Nick Haley, not Nick Haley.
They
sound similar, but so they're not related. but yeah, you know, I think there is definitely appeal to this offense. So like, okay, remove quarterback, which obviously is an insane thing to say, but the bones here are there for a good offense. You have Garrett Wilson, you have Breece Hall, you have four out of five out of a solid offensive line. Like there's a lot of bad teams that do not have those pieces in place. It's not hard to get good receivers, even if the Jets have struggled to do that over the years. I don't know what you have in Malachi Corley at this point. I think you just have to assume he has to fight to prove to the next staff that he's something. If Rodgers is there, you have Davante Adams. If Rodgers isn't there, you don't. But yeah, ultimately it comes down to quarterback. And as of now, if it's not Aaron, it's Tyrod Taylor or, you know, another veteran or a rookie. And so that's probably not the most appealing unless you love a rookie in this class and the Jets have a shot at him at seven. Or if they really think they can get Sam Darnold, which I don't know if that's going to happen. So, you know, that's definitely a factor. The quarterback is going to be a factor here. Aaron Rodgers' stance and his, you know, even if Aaron Glenn, let's say, wants Aaron Rodgers back, does Aaron Rodgers want to, you know, join up with a new staff, first-time head coach, maybe a first-time OC? Like, I don't know. And I can't imagine Hackett will stick around unless they keep letting him get coffee for everybody or something. But yeah, so that's where I stand. That's going to be on top of the GM, which we'll get into, OC is going to be the most interesting thing to come out of this.
All right, GM Lance Newmark was there with Glenn all day. It seemed like that was going to be the partnership and the done deal. Glenn is done. GM, not so much. And you're saying that they may actually continue to do some more interviews on that front.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say that Lance Newmark is 100% locked in as the GM. He's the only one that's gotten a second interview so far, but from what I understand, they're going to do interviews with a few others. I don't know specifically who that'll be. I get the impression that it probably won't be Alec Hallaby, Mike Greenberg, who are two guys that were very popular among the fans. But, you know, maybe John Eric Sullivan or somebody like that. I don't have that on authority, but just, you know, reading the tea leaves. But, yeah, I think they're going to interview some more guys. I wouldn't say that Newmark is locked in. That's a process that's probably still going to take time. It's mildly surprising that they hired a head coach before the GM, but they've been open to the idea that they would pick the head coach first this whole time. And so, you know, you want a head coach that's in sync with his GM. And so it's not the worst thing if Aaron Glenn's involved in the search now too. So I'm very curious to see how that goes and how long it's going to take is what I would say.
Do you have an inkling of how long it will take?
I don't, because I thought they were going to be a package deal right out of the gate, and clearly they're not. So that changes things a little. Dan Botter asked who has experience working with Glenn. Lance Newmark does, of course. Chris Spielman, who was interviewed, does. Though I think he's probably more of a better suitor for like a president of football ops type of role. And I don't know that any of the other candidates had ties to him. I'd have to double check. But I think Aaron Glenn will be open to any GM that he can work with and that has the same mindset as him. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out and how quickly they do it. And if we get his intro presser before or after they get the new GM as well.
It will be interesting because when Joe Douglas was hired, it was a slam dunk, right? Like there was a shock that they were able to hire the hot prospect as far as GMs go. And everybody in the league was saying what a great hire it was. And obviously there's some great drafts in there and the roster is pretty good, but overall it was a failure. So I feel like whoever the GM is, like, let's just wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah. So we might have another emergency pod for you guys coming pretty soon for all we know. but yeah, Aaron Glenn, you know, I feel like we've been preparing for this possibility for a while. So I'm sure the intro presser will be pretty soon. Maybe we'll do another pod pretty soon to talk about that as they hire OCs and GMs and all that stuff. But yeah, you know, this is, I get the reticence from Jets fans because they get excited in the offseason and stuff like that. But I think it's okay to be excited now and then switch your brain back to the mode of, all right, now they need to make the right decisions. And so let yourself enjoy this and then let's move forward.
I think it's a guy who's going to say all the right things at press conferences. I think he's going to be a cool guy to cover for you too, Zach. I think the media should be excited about this one. He knows what he's getting into. So yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. We'll see how it plays out on the field. Before we say goodbye, real quick update on the picks pool, because we are coming down to it. Only three games remain as far as picks go in this NFL season. Historic ST has taken the lead. He got 2 out of 4 right last weekend. Joe 2356 with 1, Jimbo Brennan also with 1. So Jimbo Brennan pretty much out of it at this point. But the other two guys still alive. We'll see how it plays out this weekend and if one of them can wrap things up. Otherwise, closing thoughts, Zach, or are we good?
I think we're good. Yeah, we'll hit you guys back pretty soon, I imagine. So yep. Stay tuned.